if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and swims like a duck, then it is not the central metaphor of this morning's gospel. Or in any other passage of scripture which I could find. Yes, dwelling in these readings this week, I did a little duck hunting on our behalf and discovered that there are no ducks in the Bible, which is a shame. When a mallard mama in our backyard in Pennsylvania decided to build a nest in our garden, I learned a lot about parental commitment and courage. Each day, over a span of 12 days, the mother duck laid one egg, which meant the first egg laid in that nest was there 12 days longer than the last. And even so, 28 days after the last egg was laid, all eggs hatched at the same time, synchronized by the mother's body, synchronized by her warmth. And 24 hours after hatching, make way for ducklings. Less than a day old, ducklings out of the shell are ready to follow their mother to water across multiple intersections of traffic if necessary. The author of Make Way for Ducklings, Robert McCluskey, was not exaggerating. In fact, every year, somewhere, there'll be a story that hits the front page of a large or small town paper reporting police escorts for ducklings on their way. But as I said, no mother ducks in today's reading or the Bible to exemplify courage in community. Instead, we get chickens. More precisely, a hen with a city-sized clutch of eggs here in Luke 13. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, but you were not willing. Identification of the shielding power of God with feathered wings is a recurring topic of conversation throughout the Bible, especially in the Psalms. For example, 17, verse 8, guard me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. 36, verse 7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful, for in you my soul takes refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will take refuge until the destroying storms pass. 61 verse 4, let me abide in your tent forever, find refuge under the shelter of your wings. 63 verse 7, we're almost done. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. Okay, fair question. What sort of bird is attached to these wings which exemplify God's protection? Certainly, at least in the Hebrew Bible scheme of things, one with the capacity not merely to shield, but also to take on passengers and fly, departing the pattern when sheltering in place has just gotten a little too dicey. Like the eagle of Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, that stirs up its nest, hovers over its young. As it spreads its wing, takes them up and bears them aloft on its pinions. But this morning, instead of eagles, we get chickens. Four chapters back on Transfiguration Sunday, God huddles with Jesus and with a few of his friends inside of a cloud that is as thick and dense as any pair of cosmic wings in order to tell the team, listening to Jesus will make all the difference in the second half. All right, requisite sports reference check. Listening to Jesus. Well, but had the disciples been doing a lot of that already? Listening to Jesus was also not proving easy. In fact, sometimes listening to Jesus meant hearing hard stuff. Like back in chapter 6, the Beatitudes, after all those lovely blessings about the poor and the hungry and those in mourning, Jesus takes this particularly dark turn and says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man, for that is what the ancestors did to the prophets." And if the prospect of being unpopular in the extreme is not enough, Jesus goes on to spell out what is the defining characteristic of his community. The defining characteristics. Singular, not plural. And it is guaranteed to cause conflict. "Woe," says Jesus, "to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Love. Love, not just the one who looks like you, walks like you, quacks like you, and goes to the same swim club. Love your enemy. Because loving all together under the same set of wings is the saving work for which God sends Jesus. Here in chapter 13, Jesus is still miles and months from Jerusalem, still in Galilee. Yet already Jesus is lamenting like a mother with a baby in her arms, already imagining the challenges of adulthood. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city that kills prophets, stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Prophet killing, stonings. Jesus, really? Now you give us chickens? With prophet killers at the door, wouldn't it make sense to put on your eagle wings so we can get ready to depart the pattern as soon as the chicken stuff begins to fly? As a hen gathers her brood. Quick sidebar on hens and what they do with their wings. As any keeper of chickens will have observed, in Jesus' day and for centuries before that, up until our own time, what will have been observed is that a newly hatched chick that wanders away from its mother will die. Even in the absence of predators and supplied with sufficient feed and water, a chick that wanders away fresh out of the shell from its mother will die. As will a chick on the second, third, fourth, fifth, perhaps even sixth day of its life. Because the warmth of that space between the hen's breast and the wing is more than something merely cozy. In that space is supplied the essential warmth needed for staying alive. And a chick who rejects that closeness has no future. Unlike ducklings, I know you were wondering, ducklings emerge physiologically equipped for a good long hike to a pond within 24 hours of its hatching. Chicks start out life cold-blooded. They emerge from the shell lacking the capacity of warm-blooded creatures, what they will become, that capacity to regulate and maintain body heat. And the chick's transition from cold to warm-blooded life takes up to a week, and even after that, 20 days or more, the chick will need to stay close until all that cute down is replaced with feathers. Nearness to the hen's warm body, critical. The mother's wings, the chick's salvation. Salvation, which is always relational, like love. I may not repeat the same quotation in every service until we get to Easter, but maybe. This is the observation of François Bauvin, who was a scholar on the Gospel according to Luke, who said, salvation is always relational like love for the evangelist Luke, who can only understand salvation as relational association in which, as in human love, mutual participation is necessary. And the participation from God's side that Jesus preaches, teaches, and exemplifies in this morning's gospel works like this. All chicks hatched, born cold-blooded, need warmth. Mother warmth, hen has warmth galore. And for all, without distinction. For the chick's part, all that is needed is to receive what's given and makes life work. So by this do I mean now, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior or else. No. For God's part, Jesus has accepted you and has all the warmth necessary for you. One brood for you. From the front row to the back to the choir loft, one brood for you and for your enemy, near or far. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Washington, Washington, Boston, Cambridge, pick your city, any city where human cold-bloodedness is there to be called out, and where those who are doing that calling out are likely to get in trouble. Name the city, and there God is in the midst, crucified, risen, in the midst, still lamenting, still coming to gather God's unwilling children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Yes, it is good news. We get chickens with a hen whose brooding cannot and will not be stopping anytime soon. Her warmth, her love, will get the last word.